Welcome to today's deep dive. We usually operate under the assumption that computers are these hyper-efficient binary engines.
Right.
It's zero or one.
Right. Execute or abort.
But we have a stack of research here on ternary moral logic, or TML, suggesting that binary worldview is actually a liability.
Yeah, because it introduces a necessary third state. You still have plus one for permit and minus one to prohibit. But TML introduces the sacred zero.
Which the documentation calls an epistemic hold.
Exactly. It's not just an idle state, it's a mandatory hesitation. When the system hits a moral gray area, it doesn't just guess or round up, it actually pauses.
That pause is critical for you to understand because our mission for this deep dive isn't to debate if TML is good or bad philosophy.
No, we're looking strictly at the engineering challenge. Is this system survivable?
Right, like if a corporation, a hacker, or even a coercive government wants to force this machine to do something unethical, can the machine actually enforce that now?
That's the real stress test. Because usually, if a safety measure is just software, it's incredibly vulnerable.
Yeah, the sources talk about the God mode vulnerability. Meaning, if I'm a sysadmin with root access, what stops me from just deleting the morality
In
folder?
a software-only system, nothing. Root access is God mode,
You could just patch the code to always return, yes.
which is why the research argues that for the sacred zero to matter, it can't be lines of code. It has to be a physical, non-maskable interrupt, an NMI.
So we aren't talking about permissions anymore. We're talking about actual circuitry.
We have to be. When TML triggers a sacred zero, it physically cuts the clock signal to the CPU.
It stops the heartbeat of the processor.
Literally. Even if a hacker has JTAG access, which is basically a direct line into the chip's brain, they can't force it to process instructions if the circuit is physically broken.
It's practically a medically induced coma for the chip. And the sources mentioned this hardware enforcement extends to visibility.
The lantern,
Yeah,
right?
the lantern.
This isn't just a standard status LED. In a secure TML system, the lantern is hardwired to the power rail of the ethical core.
So if the system is operating, the light is on, period.
You can't hack the light to turn off while the system runs secretly. To bypass it, you'd literally have to smash the chassis of the device.
Which completely destroys any deniability. I mean, you can hack a log file without a trace, but you can't hide a smashed case on a desk.
It forces an adversary to leave physical forensic evidence. That is a massive deterrent.
Okay, so let's slide over to the no spy, no weapon mandate. This part was fascinating because it uses physics to prevent weaponization.
Right, it relies entirely on latency. The system enforces a mandatory buffer of roughly 500
It's
milliseconds.
just to allow time for that sacred zero calculation.
Exactly. And half a second doesn't sound like much to you or me.
But in the world of high-frequency trading or, say, hypersonic missile guidance,
It's an eternity. If a missile needs to adjust its trajectory in microseconds, a 500 millisecond delay makes the chip completely useless for that application.
it's not that the code forbids it. The physics of the chip actually makes it too slow to kill.
Yeah. And there's also the surveillance aspect, the no log, no action rule.
Right, which seems designed to prevent secret data collection.
This is the cryptographic leash. The hardware requires a receipt from a public blockchain.
Essentially anchoring a hash into a network like Bitcoin.
Yeah, before it releases data. If you cut the internet connection to try and spy locally, or if that log isn't verified publicly, the hardware physically locks the output buffers.
So the data might exist inside the chip, but it literally cannot leave the pins. It bricks itself as a communication device.
Exactly. However, no system is perfect. The deep dive sources highlight a supply chain vulnerability that seems almost impossible to defend against.
Right, the ultimate failure mode. You can design the perfect TML code, but if you don't own the foundry printing the silicon,
You lose. A state-level actor could insert a hardware trojan.
like printing a backdoor directly into the atoms of the circuit?
Essentially, yes. A microscopic bypass track that routes around the moral logic entirely.
If you don't control the atoms, you don't control the ethics. That is wild.
And there was one other attack vector that felt very psychological. Epistemic gridlock.
This attacks the logic itself, not the hardware, right?
Right. An adversary floods the system with thousands of borderline ethical dilemmas,
Triggering the sacred zero over and over.
freezing the system in a loop of constant hesitation. You haven't hacked the permissions, you've just paralyzed it with complexity.
Wow. So what does this all mean for you listening? We are seeing a shift from software permissions, which are clearly fragile, to physics-based prohibitions.
Which are absolute. It completely changes the definition of control.
But it leaves us with a really provocative thought to end on. If we succeed in building machines that physically refuse to violate their constitution, what happens when a crisis demands immediate action?
Yeah. Imagine a defensive scenario where milliseconds determine survival, but the machine enters a sacred zero pause to check its ethics.
A moral computer might save its soul, but cost us our lives? That is a heavy thought to leave you with. Thanks for exploring this deep dive with us.
Always a pleasure.